Let's go. Here we go now. Hello, my name is Rebecca Tapp, and this is the DNA of Purpose podcast, where we explore purpose as a part of who we already are. We showcase all inspiring stories of the most purpose-driven people on the planet with the intention of giving you the tools to step into the potential of who you were always born to be. After all, it's in your DNA. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of the DNA of Purpose podcast. Today's guest is not only a friend, but also a flawless, fearless, and fabulous crusader of empowering business influencers and thought leaders with everything they need to purposefully create cutting-edge video content, which, let's face it, in the digital age, video is the fastest way to build trust, convey credibility, and amplify your purpose in a fiercely competitive attention economy. Her name, Rebecca Saunders. Originally from the UK, Becca hit her stride when she landed in Australia and decided to leap headfirst into the world of entrepreneurialism. She founded the Deli Agency in 2012 and also the Vlog School and the Piermont Studio. Her reputation precedes her as one of Australia's leading video strategists. In addition to her prowess when it comes to all things video production, Rebecca also has a personal story that truly showcases what it takes to fully embody all of who we were born to be, our DNA. At the age of 7, she was diagnosed with alopecia, which basically means she doesn't have hair anywhere on her body. I dare say there are some advantages to that as well. Today, she talks openly about the challenges of living with alopecia, but even more significantly, she is a truly incredible example of what it means to step boldly forward in the world with courage, confidence, and a commitment to bringing her best self forward in everything that she does. In three words, flawless, fabulous, and fierce. However, before we dive into today's episode, a quick reminder that I will be hosting a free webinar on the 24th of February to take our listeners through the DNA of Purpose framework, which I really see, you know, as a life process. The process itself is designed to assist leaders in life, to ask the questions that act as a portal to purposeful living and that in essence fuels a higher potential for our lives. Some of those questions include, who have I been and how does that create meaning today? How do I energetically experience purpose right here, right now? And finally, who am I becoming tomorrow? I would love to have you all join me online. For more information, you can check out my website, which is www.rebeccatapp.com. And I have also included a link to register for the webinar in the show notes. Without further delay, welcome to the podcast, Rebecca Saunders. Rebecca Saunders, welcome to the DNA of Purpose podcast. It is so awesome to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much. We're kicking off 2021 with a bang. It's going to be great.
We certainly are. And I'm so excited to have you as my very first interview for 2021. I couldn't have asked for anyone better.
What an honour.
So back in season 3 of the podcast, as the name suggests, we'll be exploring how purpose is like our DNA and how it reflects and amplifies the most authentic version of ourselves and who we really are, starting from the inside out. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, firstly, what is your purpose and how does that purpose empower you with the freedom to express all of the unique and beautiful attributes of who you are in the world?
Ooh, so my purpose is very much around enabling people to have an impact through connection. And so personally, that's, you know, having an impact from me in the kitchen and sparking conversations around the table with food. That's a big part of my personal life. But professionally, it's very much around enabling businesses or individuals of any nature and size, giving them the tools to have an impact on the world through impactful video content. So that could be anything from helping them learn how to DIY it, to completely taking the stress off and doing everything for them. It's about giving people a voice and the ability to share that with impact. So for me, I'm a visual person, impact visually. Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to dive a little bit into your background. I know you're originally from the UK, arriving in Australia in 2012 with really nothing but a passport and $500 in your back pocket. Now, I'm very keen to learn more about your entrepreneurial journey, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But before doing so, I'd love to hear a little more about your youth. So where did you grow up? What were your family like? You know, what were your hobbies? And how did these influences inform your purpose today?
So I grew up in a small town, or small village, I guess, by definition, called Hazelmere in Buckinghamshire in the UK. So I don't have a southern accent or a northern accent because we're kind of around the middle-ish, so just north of London. And, you know, I grew up with two parents in the house. I've got two siblings. And we very much were given the opportunity to explore and do whatever we wanted to do. There was nothing, I never grew up with parents that sort of said, you have to be this. So I never had that as a, I can't quite think of the right word for that. But for me, that would be sort of a shackle.
Yeah, there was never that expectation.
There was never an expectation to be or do anything. There was always an expectation to be joyful and happy and to go and work and earn a living. You know, it was always just have fun whilst doing it. And I think for me, just it's not possible scenario. So, you know, particularly if I look now in terms of moving to Australia, when I say to people, I'm just going to pop to the Central Coast for dinner. For dinner? Are you not going for the weekend? And I'm thinking, no, it's just, you know, it's just an hour down the road. And so for us, an hour down the road or 3 hours down the road was never a blocker to do it, to not do something, if that makes sense. So yeah. I've never had a blockage. And in fact, I had dinner with friends, you know, a couple of months ago, and they were talking about the little niggly feeling in your, you know, that sit on your shoulder to sort of almost the little angel of doubt. I don't have that. I've never had that. I've never had that instilled on me. From a childhood perspective, there's never been that case of you can't do something.
What a gift from your parents to really empower in you a mindset of possibility.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I did the work on it and actually looked back and listened to, you know, when you do this work, you do it individually and you do it collectively as well as a group, and listening to the values instilled from other families to individuals was just really eye-opening for me, because I thought actually the values that I've got instilled now in terms of, you know, respect, adventure, doing things a little bit more, you know, full of joy, they were the values that I grew up with. So I'm very, very thankful that I've got those.
Yeah, I don't think you can underestimate the influence that our family have, that our lineage has on how we show up for our purpose, just like DNA, basically.
Completely, yeah. I mean, I suppose it's not a wide fact, I guess, out there, but if you do know me and follow me, you'll know that I have alopecia. And so for anyone that doesn't know who's listening, that means I've got no hair anywhere, which is awesome from a maintenance perspective, if you want to look at it from that way.
Definitely. You save lots of money on laser cleaning.
Yeah. But as a child, that was probably the most difficult piece for me, is getting past that, because kids can be mean regardless. And being a little bit different, I just learned to embrace that individuality. So being very strong and resilient, but often behind the scenes. So I've never been it's taken me until 5 years into running a video company to be in front of the camera. You know, so it's always, I've had that resilience piece, which has been instilled in me from a young age as well, if you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, and look, I certainly have a few more questions around your journey as an alopecian. Before diving into that, you arrived in Australia in 2012, and as I mentioned before, you literally jumped off the plane with next to nothing. However, since then, you have successfully executed on three businesses, and today you run the Video Academy plus Piemont Studio, which are both incredibly successful. Firstly, what brought you to Australia in the first place? And of all of the things you could have done in the world, what was it about video production that lit you up?
Ooh, that's several pronged. Okay, so why did I move to Australia? I would have been very lucky to have relatives that have lived in Australia from when I was very small. My mum's brother moved over here. And so we were very fortunate to be able to holiday to Australia every 2 or 3 years, because as with most families growing up, if you've got accommodation, it sort of takes the cost out of any big trips. We were very fortunate to do that. And I just knew that this had to be home for me. It was going to be my goal. It was going to be my dream. There was just something in me that went, that's going to be where I'm going to live and grow up. And in fact, I remember interviewing for my first job in London that I received straight out of uni. And I went into the interview thinking this company was a slightly different company to the one that I actually went to interview for. So very similar sort of agency model. But in my head, I was going for an interview with an agency that had offices in London, New York and Sydney, and thinking it was amazing. And I remember very openly in the interview talking about the fact that I was going to go live in Sydney and I'd love that opportunity and it would be amazing. And it didn't dawn on me until I'd left the interview and left the building that that wasn't the agency with the offices in those locations. And I just thought, oh, I blew that. That was ridiculous. Mm. And I should have paid more attention. But I got the role, and the editor who was supporting me and took me under her wing in that space, she also gave me the ability to not have any sort of shackles around expectations, and taught me absolutely everything I could do, and actually almost said, you've learned all I can teach you now go and share that with the world. And I think to have those people to do that journey, I booked a ticket and off I went. I did just challenge myself by bringing $500 and my laptop and my passport, because part of me is a sensible person. I'd got a house in the UK and I'd saved hard for that, and I didn't want anything to jeopardize what I'd built in the UK. And I almost had it as a safety net in case things didn't work out in Australia. I still had my home to come or my house to come back to.
You still had your anchor down. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only this past year that I've actually sold that and let that go. And I've had that for 12 years. So just to move here. So I just wanted to challenge myself and bring that through. And for me, video, it was an interesting one. This is probably not your usual story, but video for me was one of those things that I thought, I can do that. I've got a background in journalism. I can copyright. I can script write. That would be amazing. And so we built the agency. I pretty much built a company to sponsor myself to stay in Australia. Mm. And so the way around that was actually, I am a copywriter and came through. My visa as a copywriter, and I did all the script writing, all the copywriting for the agency. And I hired every single person to do all the other jobs that I wasn't legally allowed to do under my visa. So from the get-go of company number one, not only did I have to pay myself the actual salary that was required for that role legally to have my visa tick, I had to pay everyone else as well to do all the jobs I wasn't able to do myself as part of my visa conditions. So for me, it was about doing something exciting and fun. Video is a visual thing. I'm a visual person. It's every day's different, and I absolutely love that about what we do.
What I love about that, I mean, obviously, logistically, that's a very smart move in terms of sponsoring yourself. So you've certainly got the smarts. But what I love about that is you've actually built a business around your purpose. Which is such a cool thing, like to actually step in and go, well, this is what I'm good at. Here are my tools. Here are my talents. Here is my gift in the world. And now I'm going to give it a case. Did you think about that consciously, or was it more just about the visa at the time?
To be honest, for me, I've always wanted to just instill that and have an impact out there and let people shine. Like, it's, it's about, you know, I don't need to take the credit for any of it. I mean, I couldn't do any of it without the team and the people around me. So it's never been about taking the spotlight. And, you know, for me, my goal, my focus internally was definitely, if I don't stay in Australia, I can't continue this work.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been able to do the same in the UK at all. You know, you've got pressures of and expectations of people around you who've known you since you were little, you know, and in those people that have grown up and moved abroad, when you go home, it's as though you never left, you know, it's, and that's not a negative thing. It's just, you know, for us, it's, for me, it's a reality of, I don't think I could have got as far as I have if I'd stayed there. So no, I hadn't really consciously done it, but I just, I guess that instills really what the purpose is for me and what my values are, go really deep.
Yeah. So I think to, you know, today it's fair to say that you're a leading authority in the space of video influence, well, video production and influence, really. If you could distill the three key attributes that really facilitated the DNA of your success in pursuing your purpose, what would those attributes be?
The attributes to pursue the purpose.
Well, the attributes that enabled you to be successful in your purpose?
Confidence. I have a deep knowledge. I have a deep understanding internally that I can do something. As I said before, I've got no negatives. Yep. So confidence is going to be number one. Resilience would be the second. You know, you're going to get knocked down and knocked back, but just to keep going. The hard one. I'm tempted to say fun.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a big part of it, because if you can't have fun, why are you doing it, right?
Exactly. You know, you've got to have fun. I'm a big believer that you know, you choose your own reality, and it's your mindset over most things. Mindset's everything at the end of the day. So to find the joy and happiness in everything isn't always easy, but definitely fun.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the resilience part of what you just said, because I think in order to, you know, evolve, whether it be on a personal level or a professional one, we usually need to go through some kind of challenge or some kind of trial in order to kind of strip back the ego and to step into, you know, to up level, to step into a higher level of potential. I think 2020 certainly provided that opportunity for many of us all over the world. However, speaking more broadly, can you talk me through some of the more challenging experiences you have faced as an entrepreneur, and how have you used your purpose in order to be able to get through those times?
So actually, the beginning of last year is a really good example for this. Whilst I run very successful video production agencies and teams, and I've got the studio, you might be surprised to know that I actually don't film or edit. So I'm never operating the cameras. I have very, very basic editing skills. So I don't have any of the skills that my team do. So I couldn't do what I do without them. So that's for starters. But at the beginning of the year, last year, it was getting really difficult for me to stay confident and focused in myself. And what I mean by that is, we'd gone through an era where video had become so in demand and so mainstream, and technology had become so much more affordable that photographers were suddenly becoming videographers, and kids out of school were suddenly becoming videographers, and the billing and the charging, you know, it just wasn't, I felt like I'd gone into a rat race, and I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't being, I couldn't compete at that level of price. But equally the quality was incomparable. So I had a knowledge that the work we were doing was fantastic, and the people that know me and love the team and love us would keep coming back to us. But the constant drive as a business owner to build a business was becoming increasingly difficult. And I found myself thinking, I'm going to have to close the doors. Like, I'm not having fun anymore. This isn't what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a rat race. And so at the beginning of 2020, I was really going to close the doors. And then a little thing called a global pandemic hit, and all of a sudden the 10 years I've had in the industry meant my phone was going absolutely crazy with people just asking me, how do I survive this and how do I transition? And that almost relit the spark for me, because it made me realize that actually I did have the positioning piece there. And whilst it was a couple of months of bad fog for me trying to navigate, do I give up on something I've spent 10 years building and try something else? Just having, you know, and it gave me a new lease of life to keep going. And we had the best year I think we've ever had in the history of the business last year, despite what was going on in the world. So resilience isn't about, for me, it's not about just keeping going no matter what. It's actually about stepping back and going, am I actually being true to myself, to my purpose, to me as an individual? Because if I'm not true to me, then how can I be true for my clients? And having that and giving yourself that time and the space to think about something and then seeing what the, what, you know, the universe gives you, because, you know, it's listening. And it pay me back it, or, you know, we paid it forward a lot last year. So yeah, that's probably the best example of it.
So Beck, we met probably nearly 2 years ago. Now I know I've said this to you before, but after I met you, I was like, this woman absolutely needs to stay in my orbit.
Right back at you.
And look, at the time, you know, I remember you were actually hobbling around on a broken foot when I met you. But that, you know, that aside, my first impression of you was really that you were flawless, you know, whether that be personally, professionally, and even in your style, like your hair, your makeup, everything was flawless. I was like, she is amazing. And you absolutely are. But I learned not long after that there was an even greater level of rawness and authenticity to how you show up that was, you know, it really took you from being flawless to being fearless and being fabulous. We spoke about this a little bit at the beginning of the podcast. So can you walk me through your journey as an alopecian?
I think for me, so I lost my hair when I was 7. So I actually really don't remember life as a kid or a human with hair. So like I said, when I'm talking about my childhood, there was never anything that I was told I couldn't do or couldn't be. And so I never went into a pity party, for want of a better term. Like, there was never any of my family, any of my really close friends sort of all knew about that. And I guess I had this sort of shield of people stopping others sort of getting to me. What I mean is shield of care and you're all right being you. Like, it was the whole, you can go and be you. And I wore wigs religiously every day until quite recently, actually, probably 3 or 4 years ago. I'd do really crazy makeup because I didn't have any eyelashes, and I'd just make a thing of it and got into my own style. So I've always had a sense of following that, a certain look, like a certain look. It's almost goes back to, I've got a real love for I guess probably the 70s and 80s, where travel was, you know, glorious and amazing and was an experience. It wasn't just a mode of transport. And, you know, people got up in the morning and got dressed and got ready for the day, regardless of whether they were going anywhere or not. And I really love that. I think it brings a whole sense of purpose to the day. So I've always sort of had that mentality. I'm very rarely, up until recently, didn't wear makeup on. I always got ready in the day. I always sort of got dressed up. And sometimes it was fun. I mean, I went through a phase of having 12 different wigs and doing different colors every day.
Well, I know on your website, you've got like 4 or 5 different looks.
Yeah, just for shits and giggles. Yeah, because I couldn't. I remember people saying,
I love the red hair, by the way. When I look, I'm like, oh, I like a red.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I just sort of grew into it. I grew into the fact that I could have fun with it and I didn't have to shy away from it. And over the years, it sort of developed into just being that style. I think I'm very, I do take pride in getting up and showing up. I think that's really important. And so I have a very well curated wardrobe with thanks to a good friend of mine, Michaela, who came and starred that for me. And we didn't shop anywhere. She just took all the stuff that I didn't need and left me with a few pieces. And now I can just pull it together and it works. I think it's a care factor. Mm. I think actually it's about having care, knowing that you're enough, and knowing that you can show up as you want to in the world. And I've chosen to show up being, you know, ready to face the world and ready to jump on camera if I need to at any point. Mm. And actually, 3 or 4 years ago, I got invited to the Women in Focus conference.
I saw that actually when I was doing my little bit of friendly stalking prior to the podcast. Yeah.
That was a really pivotal moment for me. At that conference, I think was the first time I did anything in a public place without my hair on completely. I felt so comfortable and at ease with the people around me and the stories that people were sharing. I'd never been in an environment like that before. And from that moment on, I was like, you know what? It is me, and I should embrace that as well. I should embrace that side. Mm. And so whilst I do, you know, I love that you said that I appear flawless, because it's something that, you know, I've been bought to do. But I feel that me letting my vulnerabilities come out in not wearing hair and not wearing makeup when I'm out and about has been really pivotal in me growing completely. I mean, I'm allowed to be myself.
So can we zone in on that purely because I'm really interested in that piece? Because as I said, when I met you, I was like, whoa, this woman is just, as I said, you know, flawless is the word. However, you know, in time we made friends on Facebook, and I started to see these incredible videos of you where I was like, oh, wow, she's got no hair, which, you know, this would be, I guess you get this a lot where people go, really, you know, I had no idea. And I didn't have any idea when I first met you either. However, it wasn't until we caught up, I think, 6 weeks ago or about a month ago at a, you know, an event for a mastermind that we're doing. Yeah. And I remember walking into a bar with you, and you had, after the event, said, you know what, I just need to take my hair off. I need to let it all go. And I watched you walk in, and I was like, the level of certainty that you had in your body, the level of confidence was like, I could feel you. And I was just like, wow, there's something, like I had goosebumps. It was, and I don't think I shared this with you at the time, but I was observing it and was really curious to understand that, because what I want to ask you now is, in terms of your inner world, in all of those situations where you're like, I'm just going to let it all go now, I'm going to let all the flawless go, hair's off, makeup's off, heels are off, and I'm just going to, you know, do Rebecca in the rawest sense of being Rebecca in the world. Do you ever have that voice of insecurity come up where you're like, you don't feel as empowered as you seem? Or if you do have that, How are you shifting that? Like, I'm really curious to understand what's going on the inside.
I very rarely have I've done a lot of work to not have that and to be really okay with who I am and what I look like. And even, you know, even if you're carrying a few extra kilos, being okay with it. And, you know, just, I live a very much a life of, and I have done for a number of years now, of it's my choice. It's my choice to be there and be like that. So, you know, people are going to judge. They will. And it's, you know, some people will come talk to me about it. Other people will sort of whisper in corners. And you've just got to be really okay with who you are at the core. Because that will come up with anything. It could come up in someone saying, oh, you know, why would you have a cleaner, for example. Well, I don't clean bathrooms. So if I'm not going to do it, I've got to pass it on. And I've never questioned why I don't want to. Mm. I just know that actually I can be doing other things in my life that will have an impact somewhere else. And it's taken me a lot to get there. There's a post-it note actually above my desk. It's two, I'm reading them now. One says, I am fabulous. So that's in my house quite a lot in a few places. And then I've got another one that says it's not personal. So you need to be just okay with you and your flaws and all the things that just make you you. Not everyone's going to get it, but Who needs to? You need to know that.
Well, I can certainly say in having spent that time with you and being with you on that particular evening, like, as I said before, the certainty that oozed from you, the energy was like this warrior goddess. And I literally had goosebumps. And so whatever work you have done to get to the place that you're in not only enables you to have a more fulfilling and beautiful life, but it also makes you bloody awesome at what you do, which is video influence. And the reason I say that is because so many people are scared of getting on camera. And whilst it's a very different thing, like your personal experiences and getting on camera, some of the fears are the same because it's like, how is the world going to perceive me? Are they going to judge me? Am I going to look terrified? Am I going to make mistakes? I mean, even right now we're recording this podcast and I have traditionally only ever done audio, but this year I've decided to start recording. And I'm even now having even now I'm having moments of, oh gosh, I have to do this differently. I can't look at my questions as much. I can't do it this way. It's a different format. And so to loop all of this together, you have really mastered the art of shifting state to step into certainty and confidence in your personal life. But this also enables you to be like the perfect person to really help people to step into who they are and their power on camera.
Completely.
Do you go about how do we do this?
Well, right at the core of it is a couple of things. It's knowing that you're your own worst critic, completely. I mean, the number of people that we've created videos with or coached along the way who have never shared the videos publicly because they don't like the way they look or the way they sound blows my mind. I mean, I don't joyfully go back and watch my own content back and think, oh, you look and sound amazing. It's out there in the world and I know I've said what I needed to say and it's out there. Whereas I do find that people, you need to realize that you're your own worst critic. And so if you have those glasses on when you're reviewing content that you're creating, you're going to be your own biggest blocker. So that's really where we start from in terms of if I'm teaching you how to do content from home, it's, film the content, send it to us, we'll edit it and we'll put it out there for you. You know, take yourself away emotionally from it because you're sharing what you know. Like one of our taglines is, you know it, now show it. It's almost getting out of your own way. And one of the other key things is comparinitis, I think is the right way of saying it.
I love that too, comparinitis.
Comparinitis.
We all do it though, don't we?
Everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone does it. And, you know, you'll see that a lot of my promotional videos talk about leaning into the uniqueness of you. Every single person, when they start to do content, compares themselves to someone else. They're constantly comparing themselves to, it might be a small local business owner that's doing something similar to them. And they're constantly comparing as to why theirs isn't good enough. Or it could be that they're looking to the likes of Marie Kondo or Gary Vee and going, oh my gosh, they're just the natural. They're 15 years ahead of you in
that's
the journey.
That's right.
You know,
they've achieved mastery at doing this.
Because they've done it, you know. And so that comparinitis thing is also a really tricky thing. And even as a professional, I struggle with it. So on all of my content, I always make sure I've got a nice background and it fits the bill. But on my Instagram stories and Facebook stories, you'll see that's slightly different because that for me is a bit more of a rawness piece. But when I'm presenting and organize, you know, presenting to in a work capacity, I've always got the headroom right because if I don't do that, I'm not showing the best way to do it to the people that are learning from me. So there's a little bit for me where I look at other things and go, oh, that raw bit wasn't amazing, was it? Like, because that looks a little bit rough and DIY around the edges. But actually, those platforms are okay to do that in. It's actually then the next step is understanding how and when you use different types of content to share your message and be comfortable with you. So they're the three things that I sort of start with.
What's the code then? If you go from rough and ready content, that would be like Instagram stories?
Yeah, so the stories, some people do Facebook Lives a little bit rough and ready as well.
Yep.
I tend to do mine a little bit more polished. But, you know, if you're trying to, so a video for Facebook is going to be very different to a video for LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is a polished professional platform. So, you know, put your professional face forward. If you, you know, you're spending, and this was a real critical thing for me last year, around the live space as well, and companies transitioning into to using video, whether it was live or pre-recorded, they'd spent years, if not decades, building a reputation and building a quality and building that level of assurance for their clients in whatever their industry is. And then they're doing a half-assed job on video and not taking the time to just learn that little bit or do it at the professional level that they're known for. And I feel that a lot of brands really missed the mark last year because they tried to cut too many corners and didn't take the time. And that's, it's not a criticism. Everyone had to move fast, but you work really hard to build your brand, particularly as a small business owner. You know, if you start cutting corners, people notice. So it's, yeah, that's one of the things for me is just keeping that quality there. And DIY is fine, but just learn the basics. Professional's got its place. And I think that was one of the biggest things that people were surprised at when I started launching the Video Academy was, but you make videos for people. Why are you now teaching them how to do it themselves? Mm. And the answer was quite frankly, I can serve more people by teaching them how to do it themselves. And the technology is there. And, you know, people don't have the big, big budgets to do as much content as is required in this day and age to keep their brand moving forward through video. Mm. So if I can enable you to do things yourself, that's a really cool thing because you learn so much in that journey as an individual, but you're also upskilling. And then there's a time and a place for it to slot into professional stuff. So they do sit together really well.
Yeah. And I mean, in a conversation about purpose, one of the reasons I wanted to speak to you was it's one thing to have a purpose, but if you're really wanting to create change and to ignite positive influence in the world, you need to amplify that purpose. So my next question in that context is, well, why video now? Like, if we've got listeners out there and they're like, oh, you know, that's a lot of effort. Why would I do that? I already have a blog. Why video? Why is video pivotal to amplify our purpose?
The short answer is social media platforms prefer it.
It gets more engagement, right?
It gets more engagement because they push it harder.
Yeah.
You know, they're favoring video content. And so video needs to be at the forefront, whether you like it or not. The platforms that you're communicating to your audience through are pushing video as the place to go. So it's, you know, a couple of years ago, I'd be talking about the fact that you can tell much more through a minute of video than you can through a photo or a paragraph of text, and people just get your messaging so much faster. But now it's actually that plus the fact that everything's getting pushed through social, through video. So for those that are saying, oh, I've already got my blog or I've already got my podcast, you know, I'd be surprised if you weren't recording this through Zoom right now, you know, as a video piece, because it's the easiest way to get a video. You're already doing the podcast, so just add the video aspect to it. You know, you could put a guide around that to say, hey, you're going to be a guest on my podcast. Here's a little bits of do's and don'ts. I'd really like your background to look X, Y, and Z and make sure your lighting looks great, because I'm going to be using this as a video piece as well as an audio piece. And, you know, just having that one A4 page or that one paragraph in an email to a client where they'll go, oh, okay, well, I'll get dressed up from the waist up and make myself look presentable rather than just jumping on thinking it was just going to be a phone call. Mm. From a blog perspective, every single blog that I used to do, I used to just record on video and transcribe it. So how long does it take you to write a blog? Could you just voice memo it? Mm. Next level up is videoing yourself, talking it through.
Totally. And so much of it is about just trusting your voice too, isn't it?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Which is a big one. I mean, I will say I script my questions, and we're in a bit of an experiment here, and I'm always really authentic and vulnerable with my listeners on this podcast. But as I said before, what I have realized is actually that format's not going to work so well anymore if I'm recording this. And yes, prepare and do your work. That's always important. But actually, you need to trust yourself. You need to go, hey, I've got this. I can get up on camera. And if I've done the preparation or written the scripts, it's not, it doesn't discount doing the work. You've got to do the work. But
you've got to do the work. But you've also got to be okay with done is better than perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Julie Masters has always said that to me, who is a mutual colleague. But yeah, the whole, you know, process over perfect every time. Just get it done.
Just absolutely get it done. You know, for me, if I'm somewhere, my number one rule is I've got to have my eye line right at that camera.
Yeah.
So I've used cake tins, I've used chopping boards, I've stacked pint glasses, you know, I've stacked Jenga blocks wherever I've been. As long as my eye line's right, doesn't matter anything else around me, as long as I've got that bit right in those meetings. I had a client a couple of years ago who I was talking through, I was introducing her to an app called Bonjouro, which essentially enables you to send short video messages to clients. So like, hey, great to meet you today. I'd love talking about X, Y, and Z. If you'd like to take it further, literally click the button at the end of this video and you can book a call with me.
Think you've sent me one of those videos and it's one of the most powerful sales tools you can use in business. And I'm going to do it this year, Beck. I'm going to do
it. Honestly, the most amazing thing ever. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But I share that story because she got into this app and she did it almost perfect the first time, but messed up on something. And I can't even remember what it was. I think she messed up on the last little bit. She then said to me, I spent 45 minutes re-recording that video over and over again to get it perfect. And by the end of it, it was such a mess that I didn't bother sending it. Whereas if she'd just sent it the first time, she'd have done it in 30 seconds, hit send, and the person would have gone, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be a part of that. So it's about, whilst I do say that people need to be polished and keep that quality, you're human. It's okay to say, I know how many times I say, while I'm thinking about my thoughts. It's okay. You're human. And over time, these things get better, but you've got to start somewhere.
Mm.
So there's no better time to just start, really. Yeah.
So I know that you have worked with some of the most successful entrepreneurs probably in our country, probably and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, because of the nature of thought leadership, which a lot of your clients are, they are the leading business influencers. They are also more often than not some of the most purpose-driven humans on the planet, who like are so fired up to get a message out into the world, and also have paired that purpose with influence in order to be able to really create impact with that message. What have you learnt about purpose from some of these incredible humans that you have worked with?
It almost sounds like I'm a little bit of a broken record, but you have to live and breathe it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something you can switch on and switch off. It's very much, regardless of what they're talking about or what niche they're in and what industry sector they're in, what they're talking about and what they're sharing is at their very core. It's something that they wholeheartedly believe in. They're being true to themselves and true to their audience. And there's no switching it on or off. They're not switching it on for the stage. They're not switching it on for the camera. They're living and breathing what they're sharing and what they're teaching, because they believe it. If they didn't believe it, they wouldn't be out there and they wouldn't be at the level that they're at, being able to go out there and really share it with the energy that they do. And, you know, I think the biggest hurdle for anyone getting to that level is you feel like you sound like a broken record at the beginning. You know, you feel like you're constantly saying the same stuff over and over and over and over again. But the reality is you could put 10 things out in the world and someone could only see one of them. So whilst you've said it 10 times, they may have only heard it once from you. And so if you don't have it ingrained in you to be okay to talk about it all the time, not all the time, I mean, have other interests, obviously, and talk about other things. But if it's not inherently in you, so you can just, you know, have it in there, it's not a core purpose-driven message.
Well, it comes back to the mastery. Like, these people are the leading experts at what they do because they have had the focus to really zone in on that niche or zone in on that speciality or zone in on what they have decided is their purpose. And that requires showing up and doing it again and doing it again and saying it again and saying it again.
Yep. completely. It's unfortunately that's just the nature of the game. Like, to master something, you've got to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat until you're there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. It's you're not going to propel yourself or your audience or the world any further forward.
Mm. So, Beck, I've come to the last formal question in the podcast today, and you and I have had obviously quite a few discussions about purpose, and I'm really of the belief that, you know, we traditionally may have thought of purpose as something we need to find or discover, or we're waiting for our purpose. Where for me, I'm like, purpose is who you already are. It's in your DNA. It's inside of you. But because of that, if you're looking for purpose, it actually requires that you journey inwards in order to discover more of who you are, or remember all of who you are. So for you, do you have any practices that you use to do just that, to really hear your own inner voice, your truth, or for want of a better word, your soul's calling?
I don't necessarily do a lot of practices. I mean, I one of the things I wrote down this year is to learn how to meditate and to learn how to journal.
But cooking is your thing.
Cooking is
my thing. Could be something like that too. It doesn't have to always be, you know, yoga or meditation, does it?
Yeah, it's and actually that's really good. I cook pretty much every day, and I'll cook from scratch every day. It's my time to switch off, to reflect on, you know, how conversations went. I'm very conscious of the language that I choose and speak. I'm conscious of the language I speak to myself as well. I think that's an important thing. You could find yourself doing any task at home and just be like, oh, such an idiot, but actually that's not very helpful. That's not helpful to you, and that's not the way you talk to somebody else. So I think one of the key conscious things I do is make sure that I'm talking to myself as though I was talking to another person, because you've got to have care and compassion there. And you've really got to, you know, if you've got that level of, you know, I think one of the mantras I had stuck on the mirror for a very long time, and I've got friends that still do similar things, is, you know, I am okay, I am valuable, I am lovable. Like, just telling yourself that you know, you're enough, you're good until you really believe it. Because then you're okay being you. You're okay in your skin. You're living your purpose, because, you know, your purpose could be anything, right? It doesn't have to be something that's going to change the world.
No, and I don't think it has to be one thing either, you know? No. It can be about being purposeful in any given moment. And that might mean, like, to give you context, I yesterday walked past some guys who'd forgotten their masks to go to Woolworths. And I happened to have 3 masks in my bag, and I gave it to them. I'm like, here you go, have the masks. Sounds like such a silly example, but it kind of captures what we're talking about here, because I felt so good about being purposeful, about going, hey, I can help you. I've got something here. And actually just stopping and talking to these strangers to help.
To help, or, you know, buy an extra coffee at the coffee shop, or whatever it is that whatever it is that lights you up inside. I think a lot of people... Yeah, as an entrepreneur, we're sort of the 1% of the population that spend valuable time and hard-earned money in working on ourselves. To the majority of the population, the time invested and the money invested in personal development will be a massive shock, and just oh my gosh, like, how do you justify it, or how do you even get to that point where you have that, you know, it's not disposable income, it's purposefully allocated. But, you know, if you're in the rat race where it's all that you've known, and you don't have a different reference point, I think that's a hard place to start from and be in. It's, you know, if you haven't got the ability to communicate with the people in your household about what really sparks you up, or you're just harnessing arguments and just seeing red everywhere because you haven't spent the time in thinking actually what is the biggest thing, what is the driver between me getting angry at the situation. It's not the situation, it's not the fact that, you know, the kids are on their devices the whole time, or the laundry's still not done, or whatever it is. There's something deeper there that we just haven't, not, you're not taught that, you're just taught the surface level stuff. And so I think there's a big a big sort of learning piece there for everyone is, you know, just starting out small and doing those small little pieces to understand why you do what you do, or what, you know, what, go and do that hard work. And it is hard. Mm. It is hard to get going, but just be conscious of the fact that normally what you're angry about, or what drives you absolutely crazy within your home environment, isn't normally what it is at all. So I'd put that as a starting point, really, for anyone that hasn't quite done the level of work that we're talking about here. Is just, it just starts with looking inwards, you know, what's going to spark you up. And even my mentor this morning said to me, even in the crappy situations, just keep going to find your happiness and joy. Even if you're not enjoying the situation, the happiness and joy is within you, because they're my key things for me. I've spoken about it in this podcast, right? My thing is happiness and joy in what I'm doing. And that's in me. That's not in external factors. That's in me.
It's in you. And there are ways to shortcut that. I mean, as you said, that my word for 2021 is smile. And it's purely because that word, and I actually have to thank my little girl for this, because funnily enough, every time I get my camera out to take a photo of her, I'm like, smile. And so instead of smiling, she would say the word smile. And it was then I realized, actually, that word is so powerful. It holds such good energy that just focusing on that word is like this shortcut hack to experiencing happiness.
I love that. I love it. I've actually got a so my grandma had smiley faces everywhere.
Yeah.
And I've got a t-shirt somewhere that just says, from her, it says, smile, it makes people wonder what you're thinking.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Which really, you know, then sparks conversations, which is connection, and leads it on. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love that. And what a beautiful, beautiful spot to bookmark today's conversation. Yeah. However, before leaving today, you have an awesome free course available on your website to get our confidence rising up in order to, you know, in order to be able to create great video content. And I know you have a whole range of other services. Where can we visit you?
So you can find me at rebeccasaunders.com. Over there, you'll find the free camera confidence course and all the resources and downloads that, you know, we've created over the years that you can just have and use to your heart's content. And you can find the studio at piermontstudio.com.
Thank you so much for joining me on the DNA of Purpose. It has been such a joy to have you.
Thank you for having me back.
Thanks.
Been awesome.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast. If you'd like to follow along, please do at the DNA of Purpose on Instagram. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is the DNA of Purpose with Rebecca Tapp. And if you'd like to keep up to date with all of our team's news and events, you can jump onto my website, which is rebeccatapp.com. That is rebeccatapp with two P's.com. Also, if you love what we do, then please do leave us a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Or if you'd like to share your inspiration with our team, we'd love to hear from you. Please do reach out, say hi at your favorite social media hangout.